It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 29th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Most of the holidays are over, and as the regret of indulgences linger, the hope and promise of a new beginning peaks over the horizon. Some of us are making New Year's resolutions to change our tech habits in the new year, right? Well, a recent study says those of us who use tablets just before bedtime should be seriously considering changing our ways. Anne-Marie Chang is an assistant professor of biobehavioral health at Penn State, and she worked on this study. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hello.
In the book versus ebook showdown, this looks like another win for the old school paperback.
Yes, it appears so. The e-reader with the light-emitting device seems to have negative effects on sleep and circadian rhythms in comparison to reading the printed book.
What effects does it have as someone who uses an e-reader all the time right before I go to sleep?
It causes you to feel less sleepy before bedtime, but more sleepy the following morning.
We're around light all the time now, but that doesn't seem to affect us in the same way as these e-readers do?
Well, light in the evening, we know, has these kinds of effects. But what's specific to the light emitted by these electronic devices is that it is enriched with short wavelength light in the blue light range. And this is more effective at increasing feelings of alertness and at phase shifting the circadian rhythms.
Are there any ways to fix this? Like, I know on my e-reader, I can swap the text and the background color so that the text is white text and the background color is black. I mean, might that help me out, or do I really have to get out a dusty old book?
Well, reading printed books is probably the safest that we know of, but using e-readers that don't emit light and that require an external lamp, just like the printed book, might be a really good option as well.
Uh-huh.
There are other software programs and applications available that you could use that filter out this short wavelength light.
Anne-Marie Chang is assistant professor of biobehavioral health at Penn State and worked on this study. Anne-Marie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So are you planning or hoping to change your habits with gadgets or technology? Tell us, and maybe we'll have you on to talk about it. Let us know at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that couldn't have happened without the support from listeners like you. So please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Uber's CEO Travis Kalanick has been indicted in South Korea on officials' claims that the company violates the country's licensing laws, and the ride-hailing app has been banned in other places around the world. But Uber is still growing extremely fast and pulling in billions of private investment. Like many tech companies, its current focus is overseas, like in China, where it recently announced a partnership with Chinese search engine Baidu. Sounds kind of familiar if you've pulled up directions on your Google Maps and had Uber be a suggested form of getting from A to B. Richard McCauley is a freelance reporter in China. Hello, Richard.
Hi there.
Tell me about this partnership between Baidu and Uber. What are they doing?
Number one is that Baidu will invest cash into Uber. We know that it will be no more than $600 million, which is what Baidu was reported to be ready to invest in a few companies.
And that'll help to sort of grow Uber's already pretty large valuation and help them invest in things like expanding in China, right?
Exactly, yeah. It will give them some money to spend in China. But I think the most valuable thing and probably the most important thing is that Baidu will also offer services. Specifically, it said it will enable users of Baidu's mobile search to connect to Uber.
That seems like a more important part of this partnership.
Yeah, you can imagine somebody searches for a restaurant. Next to the directions, to have a button that says Uber me here, that's pretty nifty. And it could really sort of get quite a lot of people just anytime they search to go out, they're already looking at an Uber.
Is this also going to change the way that people get around in some of China's cities?
This is the next challenge for Uber, really, is having people know what it is. I've spoken to a lot of Chinese friends who have never heard of Uber. The problem at the moment for Uber in China is that the taxi app sector is already well established, and that makes Uber sort of a latecomer rather than an innovator.
Does this partnership between Baidu and Uber prove that Uber is gaining a foothold that has some support among the Chinese government?
Definitely one of the most important things of the deal is it can be assumed that Uber will be able to benefit from Baidu's personal relationships with the government in Beijing. No internet company can ever reach a decent scale in China without a good relationship with the relevant authorities. And without Baidu, Uber wouldn't be able to do it, really. It remains to be seen whether or not they can actually help enough. I mean, the government is above everything. And if the government's not happy with what's going on, it will stop it.
Richard McCauley is a freelance reporter based in Hong Kong. Richard, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And before we go, here's a crowdsourcing story that caught us by surprise. Someone breaks into the offices of a San Francisco startup and steals $30,000 worth of equipment. The startup's founder, David Peterson, puts up a camera. It happens again, but this time he's got a picture of the female culprit, allegedly. The police don't have any leads, so he posts the photo, wait for it, on the dating app Tinder. Peterson had what he says is a positive ID within 2 days. Maggie Lang is an associate editor at New York Magazine who covered the story.
I think he's so brilliant for deciding that the only place people really look at faces is Tinder. There's some serious face gazing, like, can I date this person? Do I want to hang out with this person?
We should note that this woman is obviously innocent until proven guilty. No word on how many swipes right she got. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.